I just want to clarify one thing. This does not represent my age. It represents my engagement. I'm going to talk about my favorite topic in the whole world besides my children and grandchildren, which is descriptive analysis. In the spring of this year, we were very, very fortunate to call together a group of thought leaders in sensory for what we call our future forum, in which we have thought leaders talking about what is going to happen in the future of sensory based on where we are right now. And you can see from a couple of comments from Natalie and from Jennifer Jo, I'd like to say we need to guide teams to action. I like the reminder from Kevin about the guides, not just leaving them with the data, and being able to facilitate teams to common goods with the science, with the data, really allows to make much better decisions. So this is not just about data, this is not just about information, this is about insights and helping people move forward with the data and not just dumping the data. So we're talking about sensory evaluation as being both science and strategy. We like to talk about having a story. And for those of you who've known me for any period of time know about my red jello story. This is to represent my red jello story. And if you don't know it, come to the gala tonight and I will repeat my red jello story to you over several drinks. The things that are important here besides the story is to make sure that people believe what you're saying. And so in descriptive analysis, it is critical to have a lexicon, appropriate words that are well-defined and people understand what they mean. To have a scale, whatever that scale is, so that people understand the scale. And then to have a protocol for actually showing how the evaluation is done. And here's a very, very simple example of how we demonstrate not only to the panel, but actually to the users of the data, how the attributes are derived so that the product developers can make decisions based on those data. And so here we have an integrity of shape, in which case you have baby oil that has almost none, and you have petrolatum that is very, very high on a 100-point scale. For those of you who don't, who think that we only use 15-point scales, wrong. This is an example, and the videos didn't work, and thank you, Greg, for working on my video, so at least we got the final answer, and so you can look at the integrity of shape at initially and at 10 seconds, and the gloss for Vaseline intensive care, and the difference between that and Keri lotion. Having this type of demonstration, not only for your panelists, but for those who are using these data, is critical. Anticipate the questions that people are going to have when you present the data and bring props with you so that people understand that you understand the product maybe better than they do. You're going to try to establish credibility by having validation of your panels in the same way that you calibrate instruments in the lab. You have routine monitoring. You have training and practice, and you can build a community with your panel. I am sorry to say that one of the biggest complaints that I hear almost every day is how hard it is to keep good panelists. There's a way to keep them. You can build community, and you have to pay them properly. I am also going to tell you a little secret, and I will repeat it at the end. We are working very hard to leverage Blink. As you know, that we had an entire chapter in the book Blink, and I was so happy that other people have been talking about Blink. And what we have done, and Natalie Stair calls it taking your panelists like a SWAT team to the bench. We leverage our Blink. The fact that our panelists are so, so smart and so good at this, they go to the bench with product developers and can convert a six-week product development process into 2 or 3 days. Because they are just sitting there telling the product developer, put this attribute up, put this attribute down, and they understand the product developer. It's very effective. So if they believe we're a science, then they have to believe we're their business partner. We're not a supplier, either our company or you within the large CPGs. And as Todd said during our future forum, we fought for decades to be taken seriously as a science. Now the stakes have gone up, and we have to enable our clients, our companies, to be innovative leaders. Because more and more, we as a field are expected to deliver insights for business decisions. So I'm going to give you a couple of examples that will go across this process, and I don't expect you to read this eye chart, but I expect for you to see that that sensory science should be supporting your businesses all the way from the front end, all the way through in-market, launch, shelf life, and so forth. So some simple questions have simple answers. Somebody has a prototype, they want to guard against malodor. Does my product provide protection? Is it for 24 hours or 48 hours? Let's set up our descriptive aroma malodor panel to evaluate this product used by consumers over a period of time. That's the project. Here are the data. Make it intuitive and straightforward. The product works. Immediately at 8 hours, at 24 hours, not so much at 48 hours. And you can look at also the different, you can see here that the differences fall off at the 48 hours. The data are clear. And so you can say you've solved the what. And so you may want to know what next? What are we going to do next about this? Even if it's more complex and you're trying to figure out, well, what can I do with the fragrance of this product to move it along? I can use my descriptive panel, I can have a detailed protocol, and I can start to look at the difference between the pink prototype and the blue current product. And how it compares to an ideal profile, usually from a category appraisal. It doesn't take rocket science to take a look at the distance between the dots and see that the pink prototype is much closer. So now what do? We know that the prototype is highly effective at approaching the ideal profile. You have to then advise your client as to whether or not we need to go to a validating consumer test, or this is low enough risk we can move forward immediately. Third case study. It gets more complicated. And so here we're looking, we decided that cold brew was a hot topic. I'm so glad that they helped promote my entire talk by serving cold brew. And basically what we did was we decided to look at four different roast levels in a coffee, low, dark, and two medium roasts, and three preparation methods, a cold brew method, and then hot brew made in a cheaper coffee maker and hot brew made at a more expensive coffee maker. And this is what we got. Here's the summary. On the left-hand side, you have the Here you have the summary, and here you have the demonstration. What you need to see is that if you start in any one, this is a product, this is a product, this is a product, and this is a product. And what happens is, in every time, you start with the gray dot, which, if you look at the legend, is the low price coffee maker. You then move to the orange dot, which is the higher place hot coffee maker, and ta-da, when you get to the cold brew, it is at all times moving into this space, toward this space, which is high coffee impact, chocolatey, and balanced and blended. And so it's a very, very easy way to sort of show the migration. And if you really, if I wanted to zap this up even one more time, I would probably put some kind of a target right here, because that's where you want to be. So in every single case, you're able to see how the product is getting better depending on how you made it. So how do you reinforce relevance with your clients and the company? You have to augment the descriptive toolbox. We actually do, besides leveraging Blink and going to the bench with product developers, we actually have shortcut methods. It is not necessary to do a highly elaborate spectrum panel all the time. You can do a shortcut method where your panelists can sit down and give you 5 key attributes and you have the answer. You obviously, and we're going to be talking about this more through here, but it's been constantly talked about in the sensory profession, we're going to be trying always to link these data to either instrumental data, but most importantly, consumer data, so that we can uncover other insights and we can unlock the key drivers that explain not only liking, performance, and other consumer attributes. Final, know your audience, more data to the geeks, less data to marketing. I liked your infographics. We really love infographics, and you should use them. Relevant and actionable. Please don't tell people just what happened. Tell them what you think they should do with what happened and what you think the risks are in moving forward. Leverage Blink, take your panelists to the bench. Don't hesitate to adapt methods and deliver information in a quick, not dirty, approach. And share all this with passion and have fun in the process. The last 3 words in our mission statement at Sensory Spectrum says, we do this, with a sense of fun. When the fun is gone, so am I. Thank you. And Patty's up.